Breakout. What's that all about? Actually, that video, for the last 2 months, actually, an earlier version of the video has introduced a series of messages we're going to be returning to next Sunday. And that series of messages have been tracing the journey of early Christians 2,000 years ago as they were breaking out of traditions and confines, breaking out across lines of race, class, and gender, breaking out as a worldwide history-changing spiritual movement. But this morning, Jesus has his own breakout story, which is the source of the breakout movement that followed him. And so with that, good morning and happy April Fool's Day. That is why you're here, isn't that right? I want you to turn to the person next to you and just tell them how somebody has already fooled you today, or definitely got you, or you got them on a previous April 1st, or maybe your all-time fooled you moment. Just turn to each other and take about 30 seconds for that. I can't think of a better coincidence than Easter falling on April Fool's Day. Reason being that Easter, that is, that first Easter Sunday 2,000 years ago, it is the premier, cannot top this one, had everybody fooled story of all time. Jesus himself would have put it this way: you thought I was dead and gone, and I was, but I'm back. April Fool's. Let's read the story. Let's read the story, actually one version of the story from one of Jesus' followers named Matthew. We've been in Matthew quite a bit over the last 15 months. This is not a once upon a time story. This is a true story that is full of all that is good. And it's gritty real, and it's full of beauty. Matthew chapter 28, that's where we're going to pick it up, verse 1. It's going to be on the screen. I'm just going to read and make a few comments here and there. This is how the story goes. After the Sabbath, that was, of course, the Saturday in a Jewish week, as the first day of the week was dawning, that is Sunday, the first day of the Roman work week, Mary Magdalene, and Jesus, by the way, had rescued her out of just a load of trouble, all kinds of life difficulties. And the other Mary, we're not really sure which Mary that was, could have been his mother, went to see the tomb, that is where Jesus had been laid the previous Friday. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. For, and here we get the explanation, an angel of the Lord descending from heaven, wherever that is, as another dimension of our reality that's unseen, an angel from heaven descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone, that is the stone that was covering, sealing the tomb entrance, and sat on it. I kind of like that part. He just sat on it. Now let's just pause here for a moment and point out that he didn't roll the stone back to let Jesus out. You know, you can come out now, Jesus. I know you're in there. It wasn't that. He rolled the stone back. Jesus was long gone. He rolled the stone back, not to let Jesus out, but to let the women in. A little more about the angel. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. Now, that would be pretty frightening, and indeed, it says, for fear of him, the guards, that is, those who were posted there to prevent anyone stealing the body and make up some kind of a resurrection story. You can see the end of the previous chapter for that thing. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. They passed out. So, again, the women show up. Jesus' guy friends are nowhere to be seen. The male guards pass out. The women here don't. I mean, men are not really looking too good this morning, are they? But the angel said to the women who didn't pass out, do not be afraid. They were. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. That's the way they killed him. He is not here, for he has been raised. We'll come back to that. As he said, that is, as he said over and over again repeatedly, but you just didn't hear it, you just couldn't imagine it, so it went right over your heads. Then he says, come, see the place where he lay. Come on in and just take a look around. Then, he continues his instructions, go quickly and tell his disciples, that is the men who were hiding and the other women in the group. Here's what you're supposed to tell them. He has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he's going ahead of you to Galilee. That's up north where they all came from. There you will see him. This is my message for you. End of speech, shortest Easter sermon on record. So they left the tomb quickly, that is after going in, with fear and great joy. Isn't that an interesting combination? With fear and great joy. So they were frightened and just shaken by this stunning turnaround of events, and at the same time, they were as happy as could be. So with fear and with great joy, they ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, hi. Or as one second grader put it, Jesus said, ta-da. I mean, I'm just passing that along. Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came to him, and they took hold of his feet. And they worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid, because they were. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, there they will see me. When Jesus says that, when it says Jesus met them, it means that the real Jesus, not somebody else, met them. And when it says that they took hold of his feet, it doesn't mean this, and it doesn't mean this. It means this. I mean, they were down on their knees, they were down on their faces and worshiping him. They had been running, scared but happy, and then boom, they ran right into him and down they go. And when it says that they took hold of his feet, it means that they actually took hold of his physical, beat up, now cleaned up, but still very much nail-pierced feet. And when it says that they worshiped him, it means they worshiped him like you worship God. And Jesus doesn't say, hey, stop that. Don't do that. You're embarrassing me. This isn't right. He doesn't say any of that. He just lets them. That tells you something. The title of the message this morning is, what difference does it make? We're talking about a breakout resurrection, and that scene we just described is the difference that it makes. A resurrection that results in, among other things, the transformation of people. The transformation of all of us. From broken, messed up lives, from conceited, self-certain, I don't need help, I don't need God, from hopeless, lost, and wandering grief that morning to falling at his feet, full of purpose and hope, ready to do whatever you say, your wish is my command, set free worshipers. Set free worshipers. You know, that is what we offer here at Glenkirk, the transformation of people into set free worshipers. And it takes this resurrection to get that. And it really was a resurrection. I mean, he was crucified on Friday, dead by three, buried by sundown. Body was still, heart had stopped, no brain activity, decay and decomposition had already been setting in. Now the body's moving around, heart is beating, lots of brain activity, body completely restored. Jesus has been resurrected. He has not been reincarnated. That is, he's not moved on to the next life in a never-ending series of lives, same spirit, different body. That is Eastern metaphysics and religion. That is not the story here. Jesus has not been reincarnated, and Jesus has not been resuscitated either. That is, he's not been awakened out of a sleep state, some kind of a coma, suspended animation. No, he really was dead. He's not been revived, not resuscitated. And this was also not a releasing of his spirit. That is the freeing of his spirit once and for all from this body, this shell that's not really us, into some higher, spiritual, forever disembodied existence. This is no caterpillar to butterfly story, none of that. That's not Christianity, that's Greek philosophy. And nobody stole the body either. I mean, the story's pretty clear about that. Just read a little bit before and a little bit after the passage this morning. Jesus Christ was resurrected. And seeing him, hearing him, physically laying hold of his feet, that was enough for these women and for the men later. Back to transformation. Every one of you here this morning wants to be accepted just the way you are. If you could only be fully known, including all the awful things that you've said and done in your life and all the awful things that have been said and done to you and how you responded for better or for worse to them, all the guilt, all the shame that you dragged in with you this morning into this place, if only you could be fully known and fully accepted just the way you are. And I'm here to tell you this morning that the risen Lord Jesus does indeed know you fully, and he accepts you fully, just the way you are. And at the same time, this risen Lord Jesus loves you too much to let you stay the way you are. And he is the will and the power, that is resurrection power, that's the proof, to change you. And that's what the pierced hands and feet and side are all about. You know, it took that for the transformation of people into set free worshipers. You know, this church, Glenkirk, has a lot going for it. And at the same time, it has more problems than you can count. And that's what makes it so gritty real and such a good place and beautiful in the end. And we're trying to be a place where we let Jesus Christ accept us just the way we are and at the same time not let us stay the way we are. That's what a church is. And if you're visiting this morning, we want to invite you to come back, take a step, journey a bit with us, and see what it does for you, see what it does to you. This morning, we are welcoming quite a number of people who are taking big steps towards transformation as set free worshipers. Right now, we're going to be baptizing two children, and baptizing infants and children, that is a sign of God's way of setting his love on a child and saying, you are counted among my people until you make an adult decision otherwise. But until then, you're with us. And then we're going to be confirming the adult faith of three high school students who were baptized as infants, and they're making a public statement this morning. And then we're going to be baptizing seven other high schoolers who are confirming and declaring their faith this morning. That's a lot. And then at 10:45, there are going to be 13 adults. Three of them are going to be baptized. And you know, that is just so good and so real and so beautiful and full of truth. So we better get to it. Betsy, where are you? Pastor Betsy, come on forward and take it from here.